welcome to African Media with Zenith Pansrod.
Uganda, Kenya, and Malawi. Three southern African states where homosexuality has become a burning issue. In Uganda, one can already be jailed for 14 years for engaging in homosexual acts. Now, under a new anti-homosexuality bill, alleged offenders may face life imprisonment or even a death sentence. In Kenya, violence against alleged homosexuals is on the rise, especially after a gay wedding was stopped and the guest arrested in a coastal town near Mombasa. In Malawi, a gay couple seeking to get married are persecuted. To talk to us about the burning issue of homosexuality, we'll go to Uganda and Timothy Kalyagira, editor of the online newspaper Uganda Record. And we go to Lilongwe in Malawi to Konwani Munthali, journalist for The Nation newspaper. And in Kenya, we'll join in by Musoni Wanyeki, columnist for Kenya for The East African. Musoni Wanyeki, how is the Kenyan media reporting the recent news around the homosexuality issue?
There are two different kinds of reporting. There's the sort of titillating, sensationalized, kind of curious reporting. And those are mainly by people who work as talk show hosts, presenters, whose aim is obviously to provoke. And because they're not very well informed themselves, and because often they haven't received formal journalistic training, they're completely unbothered about anything except the sort of titillation of it. But then you have some negative reporting that is clearly breaching professional codes of ethics, as well as just basic standards of accuracy, verifying facts, and so on. For instance, this latest situation at the coast was provoked by media reports that were completely unverified and untrue about a wedding taking place. The reporter who broke the story never bothered to mention that actually how could a wedding be taking place? It's not possible under civil law. It's not possible under any of the religious or customary laws. And basically took a joke completely out of context leading to the situation without any concern for facts, analysis, and so on.
But the people were arrested.
They weren't arrested. My organization actually had to intervene in the situation. The police intervened to actually protect the people who were being attacked by the mob that had been mobilized by Muslim and Christian leadership. So the police, to pacify the crowds, to their credit, actually intervened to sort of, yes, 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 we're arresting them. They knew they was arresting them for what? There's no such charge as homosexuality in our penal code. So they held them at the station. They actually told us, look, we can't get them out right now. Send people to come and collect them in the evening because the mob was outside the station. The state actually has no interest in dealing with these cases until it's forced to appear to be doing something to handle it because of religious and popular sentiment of the kind that's stoked unnecessarily by bad media coverage.
Did the media rectify?
No, of course not.
Timothy, what kind of media coverage is given in Uganda?
More or less continuous. Since last year, of course, it reached the climax when many of the Western nations began bearing down on Uganda, and it became a matter that brought in the U.S. Secretary of State, the British Prime Minister, the Canadian Prime Minister, and the U.S. President Barack Obama. That's when it really basically came to the front of the newspapers. But continuously on radio and television talk shows, like 95% is fiercely opposed to the idea of homosexuality in all ways. But then the media allows them space and airtime to express their views. There are several people in the media, who, especially the print media, who have written articles and columns in defense of the rights of the gays of Uganda.
And in Malawi, Konwani Mutali, what kind of coverage is being given by the media on issues related to homosexuality?
Basically, the situation is just the same as Kenya or maybe Uganda, because we are coming from societies that are conservative, hugely influenced by the Christian faith and also the Islamic faith. So you are talking about people who traditionally, even the journalists themselves, though they might be trained professional journalists, but they have put prejudices based on their faith. That will give you an idea of what sort of communication is going back to the public. That it's not very professional in a way, but at the same time, I think for the major papers, we have tried to do a very good balanced job, only that when you're talking to a majority of people where they're negative about a particular thing, it's quite difficult to make a case for it.
Are there any media catering for the gay community in Uganda or Kenya or Malawi?
There's no media specifically produced by, for, about the gay community in Kenya. But I think what is happening in Kenya is that more and more what I would call mainstream human rights organizations, women's organizations, are seeing the promotion and protection of rights of all people, including gay people, to be part of their normative obligation. Because in Kenya we have quite a few sort of external columnists, external commentators on social events, those that come from that kind of constituency that is actually engaged with why these are rights issues, is starting to be more positive.
Muthoni Wanyeki for Kenya. Do you see the homophobia more prevalent among the black community, the Indian community, or the white community?
Those distinctions actually don't mean much in Kenya's situation. It's not really possible to sort of break things down that way. I think the major influences are, like the colleague just said, really religious. You're talking about an evangelical Christian right, which is growing, and you're talking about a Muslim community that is more radicalized than it used to be.
And do those religious groups have their own media?
Yes, they do. Pretty powerful.
Where they have a forum for homophobic speech?
Yes, exactly.
Is that the case in Uganda, Timothy Kalyegira?
In Uganda, the media, as I say, has been more or less balanced. But the most interesting thing I've noticed ever since the furor broke over Uganda, when I compare the way the Western world has reported on Uganda's stance, it's very interesting. The Ugandan media is miles more balanced than the Western media. The Western media has come sort of like hysterically against the country. You know, they're threatening us with sanctions, you know, cutting off aid and all that, just as it was when the Western media turned on Zimbabwe and there was just nothing positive they could say about Zimbabwe is what's happened to Uganda. So in other words, if you come to Uganda now, the impression you get, especially if you follow the powerful Western media, is that there's, you know, riots in the streets and everybody who's suspected of being homosexual is being lynched. But basically, it's a very calm state. People are just discussing it, debating it, calling in. So once again, it's the Western media, I think, blowing it out of proportion, as they usually do with Africa.
Konwani Muntali in Malawi, the media has been talking about witch hunt, yet in Uganda, Timothy said that the Western media blew the issue out of proportion. Is that the same case in Malawi?
Now, what is more interesting is that when the Western media comes, they don't take into account the social changes that people are going through, like literacy, education, and democracy itself, I think, started very late in the 90s in most of African countries. So for people to appreciate the balanced rights of other people, it will take a generation or so. So the portrayal sometimes, as my colleague from Uganda is saying, is not very fair on African states. So it might not be the same as in England or in Paris because we are still developing as countries. Timothy, what prompted this new law? Because I remember there was a newspaper that published names of all gays or supposed to gay people. What prompted? Yeah. Do you think it was the media or it was something else?
The bill came like any other bill. It's not as though a conservative group sat and decided to go for the gays. It just came out as one of many bills, which when it's over, if it wasn't the sort of bill that it is, it would have long gone and the same member of parliament would have moved on to other bills. Maybe to add just some perspective, one of the things that Ugandans find puzzling is that why does the Western world choose to focus on only the gay question? So basically,
can I just intervene? I actually have real fundamental problems with what you were saying. It's not that I deny, obviously, this whole kind of context of Western interests, Western perspectives, et cetera, et cetera. That's obvious. Mm. But we live here. And on our day-to-day basis, our lives are not affected by what Western people think of us or not. Our lives are affected by how we treat one another. To speak about Ugandans as though Ugandans do not include gay Ugandans, and as though a bill that is threatening to imprison them for just being who they are is not a problem, is really disturbing. That's saying that you actually don't care about the totality of Ugandans.
No, I see your point of view, and I myself, I felt that bill, as it was proposed, went somewhat to the extreme. But on the other hand, I'm just trying to reflect the general view of society, never mind my views. It becomes this. What the gay question is in cultures like Uganda is what it means to be anti-Semitic in a country like Germany. That's the way it's perceived in Uganda.
Muthoni Wanyeki?
Yes, but my point is none of us live in Europe. And what I do have to deal with is how Kenyans are treated by the law and whether or not they are afforded equal protection under the law. I would be horrified, and I would do everything possible if such a bill came up in Kenya as a Kenyan, because it's not acceptable. Democracy is not just about rule of the majority, it's about protection of the minorities.
Timothy Kaliagira.
The way I would reply to Musoni, you should say that we mustn't concern ourselves with what the West thinks and then, you know, think out our own way. That's precisely what the society is saying. And what those people advocating this bill say, they say in our society, based on our religious and cultural and traditional norms, homosexuality is something that's abhorrent to us. And they say that based on that and based on the huge percentages, something like 95, 96, 97% feels homosexuality is a problem. So if you agree, if Musoni agrees that we must look into ourselves, ignore what the rest of the world thinks and follow our traditions, then that's exactly what's being done in Uganda, which is that, according to most people,
no, you're misunderstanding me, because my argument is not an argument for cultural relativism, which I don't buy at all.
Yes.
My argument is for this to be treated as though it's a fundamental argument about how do Ugandans understand equality? How do they understand tolerance? Whether or not they agree with it. There's no Ugandan, for instance, that would think it's acceptable as black people to be discriminated against. So why would they think it's acceptable for other people to be discriminated against just because they happen to be gay? And we're perfectly capable of having that debate ourselves on our own terms without sort of implying that what I'm saying is an argument for cultural relativism. It's not.
You mentioned democracy. The idea of democracy isn't just for the majority. It includes the rights of minority. But there we go again. Here we are, two Africans discussing democracy. Where does democracy come from? Europe. That's the complexity we're facing. But right now, what I can say, from my point of view, if I stand in the middle, I think there's validity from both sides. I sort of see the point of view of the gays themselves, but I also see the point of view of that majority that has a problem with the homosexual question.
Thank you, Timothy Kaliagira, the editor of the online newspaper Ugandan Record. And thank you, Musoni Wanyeki, your columnist on Kenya for the East African. And thank you, Konwani Mansari, you're a journalist for the Nation newspaper in Malawi.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
That was African Media with Zenith Pansrod.